You're tuned into Idaho Matters. I'm Tom Michaels, subbing today for Gemma Gaudette. If you've ever hiked some of Idaho's tallest peaks, you may have been lucky enough to glimpse a pika scurrying around underfoot. It's a small rodent-like mammal adapted to live at high elevations, weathering long winters under snow, eating what vegetation they can find. But as climate change begins to affect the Northern Rockies, the pika is one species that is beginning to die out. Could extinction be on the horizon? Joining us now to talk about this are two scientists with experience studying pikas. Peter Billman is a biologist and PhD student. Eric Beaver is a research ecologist with the USGS. Thanks to you both for coming on Idaho Matters.
Thank you.
Thanks. My pleasure. Honor to be with you.
Peter, what got you interested in this research?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think starting out, in my undergraduate career over at Montana State University, I had been doing a lot of hiking up in the mountains and seeing these little guys kind of running around the talus slopes. And so I'd seen them for many, many years. I didn't know much about them. And then I had started to get into them more and more because I realized that they're a great indicator for the effects of climate change on different, on other organisms. And so essentially, as I got to my senior year, I began doing some volunteer work with pikas. And then I ended up working with Eric Beaver with the U.S. Geological Survey. And so I worked with him for a year and kind of continued onwards and really wanted to bring it home back to the Northern Rockies. There just wasn't a lot of research being done yet on American pikas in the Northern Rockies. And so really wanted to bring it back to Montana and Idaho and this region.
Now Peter, and I'm just told that we may have an image of a pika on our website, boisestatepublicradio.org, but maybe I should ask you to describe them.
Yeah. So they are very round, little small mammals. As you had noted, they look similar to a rodent, but they are actually related to rabbits and hares. They make up the lagomorphs. And so they kind of look like a hamster, quite a bit larger though. And so they're very oval or circular shaped, and they're very, very fluffy. They don't have big ears at all. They don't have tails, but they're very, very cute.
Is this pretty rare to find? I mean, are we're talking only a select few at the higher elevations?
Not necessarily. It depends on where you're going to be at in their range, of course. But here in the Northern Rockies, primarily, they are quite abundant. Anywhere essentially above probably 6,000-7,000 feet, you're going to find them.
Above 6,000 or 7,000 feet. Okay, question then to you, Eric. Pikas seem adapted for those temperatures at that elevation. How sensitive are they if the temperatures rise even a few degrees above what they're used to?
Excellent question. Yeah, so they pikas are kind of strictly restricted to areas in rocky talus slopes. So unlike a lot of other species, we can map their distribution across the landscape with just aerial imagery. And in terms of sensitivity, the factors and aspects of weather and climate that they're most sensitive to depend on where you are. So in some cases, it is actually rising temperatures. In other cases, it's a lack of an insulating snowpack in winter. Back in the late 60s, folks put animals in cages and didn't allow them to behaviorally thermoregulate, and they died pretty quickly at lower elevations. So that is a phenomenon as well.
So, and let me ask on that point, because you talk about distributional shifts in abundance, the pikas just moving to another location, or are they declining, dying?
Excellent question. We didn't have animals that were marked with radio collars or something like that, so we don't know. I think in the end, the places where they no longer are at, they're not suitable. And so in terms of the study and trying to understand those patterns at the landscape scale, in one sense, it doesn't matter whether they actually moved or just died in situ. Those places are no longer climatically suitable for them in terms of their environment there.
So just to kind of cut through the jargon, is extinction beginning?
So we're looking kind of at this area in the Northern Rockies there, and those local extinctions, losses of pikas from individual patches, is unequivocally happening. So that doesn't necessarily mean that the whole species is going to become extinct, but yes, this process of reducing their range, their distributional range, is indeed happening.
Well, here on Idaho Matters, we're learning about pikas. That's a small mammal. We heard a lagomorph. It lives on the ground in some of Idaho's highest and coldest points. Our guests are researchers Peter Billman and Eric Beaver. Peter, back to you. For some species, you know, climate change affects habitat, food sources, lack of cover from predators. What with the pika, is it predation? Is it the temperature change, the food source, or how do you pinpoint these factors?
Yeah. So that's a really great question. So essentially the way that we go about this research is we have many, many different hypotheses of what might actually be going on. As you had mentioned, quite a few of them, could it be vegetation mediated or could it be direct effects of temperature, things like that. And so we create all these different models, these statistical models, and we run them against one another. And we essentially try to test what are the best predictors of occupancy and abundance of these animals. And then we try to essentially test which variables specifically and how might they be influencing these pikas. And so we're finding these direct effects of heat stress appear to be the strongest predictors. Things like predation, disease, things like that, we don't have a lot of information on, unfortunately. But they're a great model organism to work with because, as Eric had noted, their habitat is not changing substantially. Their habitat is these broken rock patches, except for Craters of the Moon, of course, which has them in the lava tubes. But they're in primarily these broken rock patches, which aren't changing structurally over time. They just stay kind of these rock patches. And so we know it's not habitat changes, but could it be vegetation mediated? It turns out no. We found basically no support for vegetation mediating these local extinctions. That's not to say that that doesn't have some sort of effect, but what we found was primarily these summertime temperatures, these really high temperatures in summer, were most strongly correlated with these local extinctions.
I want to address summertime temperatures because we should note that your research was from 2017 through 2020. So it really didn't include this past summer where the Northern Rockies had record-breaking heat. Will you go back and see what effects that might have on that population already in decline?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. So this work, actually, we traversed from the valley edges up to the peaks in 64 different watersheds across the Northern Rockies. And we already found some level of upslope or traction in about 70% of those. And so with this past summer being so hot, as you had noted, and the drought conditions that have been persisting, we do suspect that some of these lower elevations may have gone locally extinct. However, that doesn't mean that they can't be colonized potentially next year. But with that said, we do hope to go back in a couple of years and redo all of these surveys. We had 760 sites in total. And so we'd like to go back to all of them in probably maybe 5-6 years from now. And that way we can begin to quantify the rate of retraction, so the rate that they're moving upslope, and things like that. But yeah, we do suspect that these single summers do have an impact, especially on these low elevation populations.
We're talking about the pika. They may have scurried in front of you on a path on a particularly arduous climb. You mentioned, Peter, 64 areas of the Northern Rockies. You also mentioned Craters of the Moon. Might you list just a few Idaho areas that some of our listeners may be familiar with?
Yeah. So I'm not quite sure about the area directly surrounding Boise itself. However, they are found quite commonly throughout the Sawtooths, for example. We work in the Beaverhead Mountains over near Salmon, and the Lemhi Mountains near Chalice there, but primarily throughout the entire state, actually. There are parts of the center of the state that are much drier and hotter that may have fewer pikas, but also if you go up to areas like Coeur d'Alene and Sandpoint and those regions, anywhere up high in these mountains that have these broken rock patches, you're going to be able to find pikas. The real anomalous one is, of course, Craters of the Moon, which is such a unique habitat where the temperatures are much cooler underneath in the lava tubes compared to the surface temperature. And so that's quite an anomalous one, but it's a great opportunity to see pikas down low. And they're actually much darker there in color. But yeah, so essentially anywhere in higher elevations that you go to throughout the state, they're even found in the southwest and southeast corners of the state in those mountain ranges. You should be able to find them.
That's a great point about the Craters of the Moon where it always seems the wind is blowing. Question back to Eric. When you're doing this research, conducting it, were you surprised to find the decline as severe as you all note?
To be truthful, I had instructed Peter, well, I don't think you're going to be able to even run any analyses on the distribution of them. They're going to be probably going to be everywhere. And so he challenged me, and he thought that he would be able to find some patterns there, because I thought there would be no change whatsoever, because it's really in the center of their geographic range. That is to say, if you look at a range map, it's this portion of Idaho is really right in the middle. And I thought there would be really no change whatsoever. So in each of the four mountain ranges, we found right around one third of those patches no longer had pikas at the moment. So that was indeed quite surprising to me, I have to say.
And a follow-up question about a mitigation, with other species facing decline. And by the way, we should note that pikas are not on the endangered species list. But with other species facing decline, scientists have tried things like breeding programs, attempting to protect the habitat. Are there any plans for mitigation?
We've proposed some work, some kind of active management strategies. That's kind of, I would say, on the forefront of what's going to be happening in the future. But most management agencies have to date relied on more passive, holistic strategies to try to, in terms of climate adaptation. But this is a really active frontier of research and interaction between management and conservation and research. Mm. So that, I would say that this idea of what do we do about it as a society, and specifically as land and wildlife managers, that I would say is really the task in front of us.
I'm guessing in the final question, you're both rather fond of these creatures. Is it hard to see them struggle like this?
Yeah. So Eric has been working with them for quite a bit longer than I have, but yeah, it is indeed. We get to these areas and you see lots of evidence that they used to be there. There's going to be these old hay piles. There's going to be old fecal pellets throughout these rock patches, and you're just not seeing pikas there anymore. We knew that they used to be there. There used to be lots of them there potentially. But you get there and you no longer hear their little squeaks. You don't see them running around anymore. It's a little bit depressing at some of these lower, hotter sites, which is quite unfortunate, but the signal is that it's only going to continue. They're likely going to keep retracting upslope at these lower elevations. Eric has worked with them over in Nevada quite extensively since probably 2000, potentially slightly earlier than that he can talk about, but he has seen much greater losses, more widespread losses than I have personally. Well, but here in the Northern Rockies, yeah, as he had mentioned, we did not expect to see the extent of local extirpations that we did see.
Well, thanks to you both. We've been speaking with Eric Beaver of the USGS and Peter Billman, biologist and PhD candidate. Thanks for sharing your expertise on this issue. We'll link to their research on our website. You can also find a photo of a pika there. That's boisestatepublicradio.org. I'm Tom Michael with Idaho Matters, live and local here on Boise State Public Radio News.